welcome everyone. I'm not sure if Nick is going to join us, but we'll be listening for him. Otherwise, Michael is still traveling about his first United States mainland trip and enjoying the many wonders of what the United States has to offer. His first time ever in the U.S., and he's really getting around. And I'm sure he'll have plenty of stories and exciting tales to tell when he returns, which should be for our next call. So meanwhile, here we are, August 1st, and the beginning of the last month of what for many is summer. And this is a special month, August. And I think it's a holiday, really, in August 1st, I believe, in some places or another. And so happy holiday to those that it's a holiday for. It's a holiday for me just because it's August 1st. And this is my birth month. So we want to just take a minute and welcome all the new superheroes that have joined in since our last call. Welcome, and we're really excited to have always new superheroes training because they bring new, fresh energy and insight and perspective to the training. So we encourage you to don't wait, don't hold back to participate. You can participate at any time, and you don't have to wait until you kind of figure it all out because there is no figuring it out, as we've all learned.
Welcome.
Aloha, Mr. Good.
Aloha, madam. Yeah, we love the new superheroes. We love the new superheroes. We love the old superheroes. We love all the superheroes. New ones, very, very special because you have the golden opportunity to get straight to the point in the whole thing because we don't hide anything. When you go through the whole thing, you know, it's only ever going to be about the essence. And so we can sum that up. I'd like to begin this call. I want to take a moment to sum the essence of superhero training up from my perspective. And I want to invite Taylor to take a moment and sum it up from hers. So let's just take a moment and just take a breath because this is what it's all about. It's all in the breath. The secret's in the breath. It's the breath between the thoughts. The mind cannot comprehend anything of any value compared to what the breath can allow you to experience. You see? It's all in the breath. In the breath, the superhero, we get to feel ourselves and experience ourselves as what we are. We're consciousness. You see, there's nothing more sensitive and alive than consciousness. It's like an energy, a liquid energy, and it exploring life. So as you breathe, that's consciousness breathing. So when you breathe with that consciousness consciously, and you just Learn to regulate your breath. Regulate your breath so you breathe all the way out, slowly, 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 slowly. Deeper and deeper and deeper into yourself, and then you breathe in again. And when you're breathing in, you learn to soften and surrender and open your heart and receive the love of life. Because the spirit, whatever you want to call it, it wants to love you. That's its nature. That's all it does. Its nature is love. And if we're not experiencing that, which most of us aren't, why? Because we're ignoring that part of ourselves. We're ignoring that way of being. We're ignoring thinking about these subjects, you see? So we don't practice. And when we don't practice, the easiest thing in the world becomes so very, very difficult because we haven't practiced it. And for most people, it's impossible. No matter how easy or how simple we say it is, it actually is. So the secret's in the practice, nothing more, nothing less. To understand the practice, you have to understand the wisdom that we're sharing. And so this is the essence of my wisdom, and then Taylor's going to give you hers. And if you can just get this little recording, and listen to this over and over and over, or write these points and focus on this, your superhero training will be extraordinarily incredible. If you choose to not take advantage of this moment in time, like we might look back on yesterday, something we did not do yesterday, or anything we did yesterday, and we think, could I have done that better? Would it have been more of the best day ever if I had actually gone and done that thing instead of just thought about it? Whatever. So if you choose not to take advantage of a possibility, a probability, a moment in time, then you miss something. Then you can say, yeah, it's predestined, or, you know, it was karmic law or whatever I was bound by. But when you reflect, honestly, when you do practice and you develop certain abilities, you know that if you have regrets, it's because you weren't really on your practice that day. You didn't do that powerful spiritual practice. You didn't actually do it for that long, or, you know what I mean? You kind of like lightweighted it instead of superheroed it. So it all hinges on this practice. And so here's my wisdom to help you understand the practice. When you learn to breathe and accept the love that's inside of you and that's inside of every particle of oxygen, whatever you want to call it, that you're breathing, that stuff you're breathing, when you accept that there is a grace in that and that you really don't know anything about that grace at all, no matter what you think, or believe or imagine, you really, 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 really and truly don't know very much about it at all. But you have to admit, just in your simple, basic understanding of life, that what you're breathing is absolutely amazing. And it's when you put those two words together, amazing grace, and you devote your life to giving your heart in a breath, in any breath, to that grace, That's the whole thing right there. I just said it. If you're like Morpheus said to Neo when he was explaining what the Matrix was for him, before Neo knew anything about it, when Neo was freaking out, same thing today. Yoda has spoken to Skywalker. So in the softness and the tenderness and the beauty of your heart breath, you give yourself willingly to an invisible energy, the life force, Holy Spirit, the mother, the divine mother, the thing that has proven itself over and over and over and over and over and always will and always can, because it is the one living thing. That intelligence, you give your heart to that and you breathe in a very particular kind of a way. And that particular kind of a way is how you think. It's how you organize your imagination, how you organize your thoughts, how you conduct your belief systems, your ideologies, the mythologies you ride, the mythological waves you ride. So I'm only talking about two very simple things here, the way you feel and the way you imagine. And this is all going on in the breath. So the breath is the container for the two things, the way you feel, the way you imagine. And what I'm suggesting is you imagine in a mythological way, you engage your mythological imagination. You want power. You want power over circumstances, over people, over things. If you want power, which you should have, a spiritual warrior should have power. And this is the whole thing about superhero training. It supercharges your spiritual practice. You new people, if you think you have a spiritual practice, if you think you're a Christian and you know how to pray, if you think you're a yogi and you know how to do yoga, if you think you're a martial artist and you know how to do kung fu, if you think you know how to do all those things already, believe me, as you conduct yourself in this training as a spiritual warrior, your spiritual practice will be supercharged, because we remove the blockages and the distortions from the psyche, from the soul, and we do that systematically. And the engine you have to engage is your feelings. Purify your feelings through ho'oponopono, through forgiveness prayers of howardwills.com and ho'oponopono, pure attitude of, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's your mantra. You just keep it going all the time. You never stop to, don't turn that radio off. If you turn it off, well, life can get very weird. When you turn it on, it's a medicine. It's a medicine, a magical medicine. So your spiritual practice is supercharged, and we suggest you organize your imagination in a mythological way. That means you think in mythological terms. That means you use your mind in a big way, not a small way. The ego is threatened with survival. It's terrified of dying, of being caught in no credit card, no money, no house, and civilization breaking down, zombies on the loose, viruses, chemtrails, everything, disease, drama. The ego basically is essentially terrified of its own survival. And it is being threatened with doom right now. If you aren't aware of it, you will be. So, on the other hand, the soul is engaged in a love affair with eternity. And the whole thing is what percentage of your energy is going into the ego's version of reality, and what percentage of your energy is going into the soul's version of reality. So that's a mathematical question, but when we're talking about mythological imagination, what we're saying is Joseph Campbell has told us, Jesus has told us, Moses has told us, Yoda has told us, Morpheus has told us, Gandalf has told us, Harry Potter has learned that there are powers in this world that no matter what, no matter how bad life appears to be, can turn it all around and will turn it all around and protect you, absolutely. But it will do nothing at all to pacify your egomania. It will do nothing to support the mad dreams and the imagination of the ego. Nothing, zero. So your suffering or your glory, you're lifting up into blissful levels of consciousness and Elysium within this world, the freedom that you crave, it depends entirely, absolutely, and utterly on one very, very, very simple equation. And these are my final words before I hand it over to Taylor. Close your eyes right now. And just allow yourself to become perfectly still and make sure at least one hand, either or both, it's up to you, has the thumb and one of the fingers touching in a gentle, sweet, very natural mudra. And just feel for the beauty in your heart. Feel for the beauty in your own heart and just feel its goodness because it's there. And just allow your heart to just fill with pure goodness. Give thanks in your heart. Jesus said, according to your faith, so shall it be. The love of God, the love that God has for you, has never diminished for a molecule in any moment. You see? That presence is almighty. That means it's much, 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 much bigger and closer to you than your world is. That's the almighty presence. And all you have to do is accept that. And that's the essence of it all. And if you can do that, then the rest of the superhero training will just be like entertainment, putting together a little jigsaw puzzle just for fun. And it just happens to reconstruct your reality, every facet of your reality, in the most amazing way. But without the essence, you'll just be gumming around in the treacle, you know, in the sticky stuff. So that's my essence. I love you guys. I'm going to turn it over to Taylor Call now. And any man that speaks before Taylor Call is a brave, brave man. I can tell you that indeed. Taylor, won't you bring Aphrodite and the cosmic super beings that grace your the skies of your soul, and let the fragrance of your words be like unto Shiva's river pouring from his hair.
Woo! tall order, Mr. Good. Well, let me just say that. Beautifully spoken, Nick. Nick, of course, holds the space of amazing grace, multidimensionally across all fields for the superhero training. And that in and of itself is a profound gift of being in the training, to be in the energy and living arena of amazing grace. And the training really does embody amazing grace in a living, tangible, available form. And as does Nick, as one of the founders. And, you know, while Nick was talking, I just had this, I connected to Danny over there in the UK, who's a single mom with three amazing children in the superhero training. And she really just embodies, and her children, a life that is magical and is amazing grace, living in amazing grace. And just reflecting on what her kids have available to them now. They're all wanting to create their own little superhero program at their age. And it really is as if the superhero training is the opportunity for us all to rediscover our true nature, to, like Nick was saying, have fun, to really embrace that creative, imaginary part of ourselves that we all have, that we've never lost. We haven't lost it at all. Nothing has changed. God is a constant. Your soul is a constant. Your soul is the same soul that you came in with. It's the same soul that you'll go out with. And it's all, and it's there, and it's the bigger part of who we are, and actually much more available to us than the ego. And so the real opportunity of the superhero program is to be training, is to be able to really embrace that whole part of ourselves and remake our life as if we were childlike. And in that level of wonder and in that level of play and imagination and that level of seeing and thinking that anything is possible, not having our focus on what others think or what any of the stuff that is running around at the level of our ego. And having and living a life without regret, living a life at 100% full on, without any kind of conditions or restraints whatsoever. The sort of life that you would create if you were a small child. And this is really, it's such a great opportunity. Everything is there. Everything is there. Every single thing you need is there for that level of living. That level of living 100% in light, 100% in optimum health and wealth and well-being and joy. All of that is yours for the taking. It's just your birthright. And it isn't even something you have to figure out or learn or work at or strategize about or get the right marketing down or any of that stuff at all. There's nothing to do, ultimately. And the superhero training has all sorts of protocols and offerings. But ultimately, you're already it. You're already there. And the beauty of being in this community and being in the program is to be reminded of that on a daily basis. Having your breath, as Nick said, the Ho'oponopono, all these things are just continual reminders of who you already are, what you already know. Implicitly, you know as you know yourself. And it really is about being on the leading edge of evolution. This is the leading edge of evolution where we're at. These conversations that we're having, the what each of you are up to in your lives. And it's a remarkable time on the planet. There's the opportunity to be engaged in these shift points and communities and relationships is really a divine opportunity. And so it's really about discovering what really matters, and that's all you already got. It's all on the inside. It's sort of like it's the ultimate detoxification program where you can strip away everything that you may have taken on and inherited and be, you know, sort of, were influenced by to just get down to the core of light and love that you are, the core of light and love that you are, and then kindle that, feed that. Everything then becomes about how can you, or that's not even how, but what are you doing that's feeding that, that's nourishing that, that's enhancing that, that's upgrading that, that's adding to that. And that's what superhero training offers by way of both being in a supportive community and daily practices to keep you true to yourself. The truth shall set you free. you're free in that when you're tapping into that level of truth within yourself. Always. There's nothing to do, nowhere to go. You're there. You're free. You're in touch with your birthright, your true light. True light and love. And very, very blessed. Very blessed. You know, I mean, for me, I just really do feel in such gratitude, deep gratitude for whatever it was, and I can't even know. I mean, so many different things. Put me on this path of having my spiritual growth and evolution be my top priority above all else, of being in service to that above all else. And that really gave me everything. It's given me everything. And I have so much gratitude for that level of freedom from suffering, freedom from the whole matrix, the whole whatever it is that would seek to disarmor that level of superhero invincibility and our true nature. And so that's the gift that we all have, really. Really, the minute you kind of say, I'm interested in taking on being a superhero, whatever that looks like, that exploration, that adventure, that path. And that's really the beginning. And it's that very, you know, until one is committed, there is hesitancy, a chance of withdrawal. Once that commitment is made, all providence, all manners of magic and wonder can conspire to make anything happen. And each of you have taken that commitment by virtue of placing yourself in the training. And now it really is about just continuing to open up, like Nick was saying, to take in that level of grace, that level of connection, that level of being in the now of who it is you truly are, and have fun with it, really. It can all be a fantastic adventure. And that's really what, you know, how we're living, what we're creating, the opportunity that we're holding open as the creators of the training, and what it is we're actively always speaking from whenever we're being a support or answering questions or whatever it is. That's really our role, and that's what our commitment is, and that's what the opportunity of the training is for everyone. It just keeps getting better. Just keeps getting bigger. It just keeps getting more and more obvious and tangible and available as we move more and more into these realms of that we're moving into. So it's really the best game in town right now. And each individual, each one of you, really add to the energy that this vortex is. You know, it's a living, breathing. You know, once you say, "Yeah, I want to be in this superhero training," you are adding your energy, your lineage, your configuration to a whole vortex of energy that's timeless, that's forward and backward in time. The minute you make that commitment, everything shifts in your life. It shifts in your ancestors' life. It shifts in those that have come before you and those that will come after you. It's a soul choice of high resonance that energetically goes out and alters outcomes way beyond what any of us will ever be aware of in many ways. And maybe you will be aware of much of it, but there'll be a lot that you won't. And every single superhero without exception, adds to that energetic configuration. And it's a miraculous configuration. I mean, you know, when I see it as energy and I see all the various superheroes and what it is they're up to, and really no matter where you're at, no matter what judgment you have about, oh, you could do this better, or that better, or that, this, that, or everything, doesn't matter. It's the fact that just that you have placed yourself here and each day are giving what you give to it and committed to really having your spiritual growth and evolution be a priority is immense. It's immense. And being of service in the way that you all are. And we're all in great gratitude for that and appreciation. And it's really what has us keep inspired and re-inspired over and over and over again is each of you and the opportunity that this container provides for people to find themselves, to rediscover themselves, to re-know themselves at that basic fundamental level of birthright and beingness of spirit that they are.
Okay. So, questions. We have a question. I think the reason we only have one question is because there must be a lot of archive content that people are satisfied with, or they're so busy just focusing on the essence that all questions are, the answer is always the same. Or, I don't know. But Noah, dear brother Noah from Australia, is about the perception of change. So his life is changing and people around him are not. He's going through an amazing transformation. People around him are stuck. So his question is, how does he, or how do we, as what he perceives as outsiders from the Matrix, from the Muppets that live in the Matrix, we have completely different perspectives than these other people in this other world who are inside this world. His question is, how do we break through the ego barrier and self-sabotage of some of our family members or friends? I am personally finding it difficult to provide relatable, understandable, and sometimes believable advice to friends when I'm approached for help. Okay, Noah. A couple of things on your perception of change. Number one is, when I was talking about the essence, I was talking about two things. Breathe in the love, and that means radiating the love as well. So if you're not breathing in love and you're not radiating love, if you're not breathing in love and radiating love, then you're just in the Muppet Show with everybody else. And just because you've figured a few more things out than the other Muppets, it doesn't matter. You're still in the Muppet Show because you're not breathing in love and radiating love. So that's a very, 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 very simple delineation right there. We could say it's oversimplifying, but believe me, I love simple, 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 simple truth. You see, childlike simplicity, because we're all children. We're children of the same oneness, the same beauty, the same perfection. You see, that's all it is. So as long as I'm breathing the love and I'm radiating the love, then I will be guided perfectly by my whole spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is nothing less than the river of life pouring through you. That's all it is. The river of life pouring through you, and you're just a transparent container. Why? Because you've realized what that river of life is and how much bigger it is than you. How much bigger it is than your ideas, more real than your perception of reality. You see? And then when you're with your friends or with your family, you can just be, you know, kind of chilled, passive, soft, supporting. But if the environment is toxic, if the environment is toxic, if they're toxic, if they're intoxicated, or they're toxic, they're aggressive, you know, the ego has a monstrous capacity to it because of this mythological quality that we have. And as soon as you start imagining, using your imagination in this way, you start thinking about these things, holding your mindset in this way, to consider, you understand that, wow, if I'm in my ego, you know, I become monstrous. And we see this reflection from the monsters around us. So as we go deeper into the horror story of the Matrix, where the ego lives, where the Muppet Show is, you know, really the distortions in the Muppet Show are being broadcasted from, where the Wizard of Oz has his little den, where he's projecting his nonsense from. The closer we go to the epicenter of that, the nearer we get to that cave. The father, the hobbit's journey underground with Gandalf. And this is the thing, you see, when you think about life in a mythological way, you use your imagination in a mythological way, you realize, yeah, wow, my goodness, we are superheroes on this journey, and the superheroes are tiny children, like hobbits walking across the bridge with Gandalf. And as big and as strong and as knowledgeable and as wise and as powerful as Gandalf is, he's still a tiny, tiny thing compared to this great, great, great life unknown. And this unknown is benevolent. So whatever, no matter what, we see Gandalf's fingers disappearing over the ledge, falling down into the abyss with the great fire and smoke demon itself, the oldest, most dreadful, terrifying, demonic thing from the ancient of days. No matter if you see Gandalf disappearing from your world in smoke and fire down into the abyss, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about nothing. You see, the ego's world, let's just imagine the most extreme ego imagination now. Let's just go to a point in history where ego is defined in our modern history. Let's just go to 1940, what should we say, 7 or 1946 or 1945, somewhere in there, whenever they dropped the atomic bomb over Hiroshima. The nuclear holocaust begins. Public broadcast, the nuclear holocaust has begun. Here is the bomb. It's an A bomb and stands for atom bomb, otherwise known as an H bomb, hydrogen bombs. And they drop that thing over Hiroshima, a city in Japan, with how many people? How many people were living there? All those people at that time. This is a defining moment of human ego. Second World War. Hitler on the rampage. A defining moment in the battle between the forces of good and evil in the world. Defining moment. Something critical happened here. 1947, 1949, whenever it was. I don't know. It doesn't matter. So, I'm just going to take you on a journey of understanding through the ego. This is the golden recording that we need to extract from the audio files and make sure all the superheroes have this and listen to it forever. When the atom bomb was detonated over Hiroshima all those years ago, which wasn't all that long ago, what they did was they released a mechanism in a bomb, okay? Now let's just think about this, because everything in the superhero's imagination is a reflection of a component in your psyche. So there's a mechanism in your psyche represented by this atomic bomb that was dropped over Hiroshima. We all know it happened. There's no denying the fact. Defining moment in the ego's reality. The man that created the bomb was asked if this had ever happened before, and he said, never in our time, but it had happened before. And this takes us back to another time in the Indian mythology, represented by the Bhagavad Gita, the Battle of Kurukshetra, when they detonated the dreadful weapons of fire then. So here we are in another time-space continuum, in another part of the cycle of time, in another age. When they detonated that bomb above Hiroshima, what they did was they removed the mechanism. They had this thing timed so it would remove the mechanism shortly before it hit the ground. It was a certain distance above the ground. You can Wikipedia that up, research that, and you can find the exact height that that thing was detonated at to cause the maximum devastation as the atomic energy was released. The destructive power of that atomic energy reverberated out in a circumference of 20 miles. That means for 20 miles in a circular radius, 20 miles in every direction, there was absolute and utter mayhem and total, complete devastation. Fire had destroyed everything, the trees, the buildings. Many of the buildings were made of wood. Some of them were made of coconut palms and what have you, bamboo. Some of them were even made of paper. And of course, everything was incinerated for 20 miles. There were concrete buildings, cars, buses, shelters, urban areas, suburban dwellings, principalities, municipalities, all completely destroyed. And the people within that 20-mile radius, absolutely and utterly devastated for the rest of their lives with radiation, burns, sickness, and horror mutations which continue to this day. Simple historical fact. Now, the only building in the whole vicinity, and this particular building was only 8 blocks from the epicenter where the whole bomb had been detonated. Only 8 blocks. There was one single building left standing, perfectly intact, and it was a wooden building. And it was, in fact, a wooden abbey, an abbey made of wood in Hiroshima. This particular wooden building didn't have any burn marks on it whatsoever. It wasn't scorched in any way, shape, or form. And everyone inside of the building was perfectly well. It was an abbey devoted to the Divine Mother, the Mother Mary, the Divine Mother, through Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima. Our Lady of Fatima, Fatima being the place in Portugal where the Mother Mary, the Divine Mother, our Virgin of Guadalupe, the same Madonna frequency. That frequency protected that particular building. Simple historical fact, once again. This particular miraculous, some would say, demonstration, utterly miraculous, I would say, demonstration of the power of grace is the perfect metaphor and analogy for you, especially you newbies coming on board, you green, wet behind the ears, superheroes. If you want to walk through this world with that protection, the degree of protection that protected that abbey, the building there, the same grace that has been alluded to through the story of Jesus, through the story of David, King David, the boy David, the shepherd boy with the Goliath incident, and many, many, many references to the same grace in the Bible through Daniel in the den with the lions, through all of the stories of the disciples and Jesus in the book of Acts, after Jesus resurrected from the cross, and they set fire to the Middle East for 40 days, 40 nights, raising the dead and casting out the devils together as a band of brothers and sisters, a great sisterhood, setting fire to the women in the world through the wild paths of Christianity and feminine wisdom keepers and feminine high priestesses coming from the ancient times. These were the days when that all got set on fire, when Jesus and Mary were reunited after the ordeal of the cross. So these are the mythological images that we encourage you as a superhero to focus on. If you do, and it's a big if you think about these things, if you don't think about these things, if you think about being an entrepreneur and having all this money and being a sex king and, you know, having all this stuff or being a super athlete and or being a, you know, like a chocolate party king or whatever, but if you don't think in a mythological way, then you don't get mythological powers. And amazing grace is a mythological power bestowed quite naturally. You can just be like Moses, just floating down the Nile in a little basket of bulrushes, you know. We're in the river of life, the currents of what holds us. We are in something much more powerful than our little the little game that our ego plays. And the answer to this question, the only question we have from Noah is, you know, how do we deal with sabotage in ourselves or other people? It's the same answer. You think about these things. You love God with all your heart and mind and soul through the breath, and just giving yourself in the tenderness and the beauty of your peace. Through Ho'oponopono, tenderizing yourself and melting your heart more and more and more and more and more. Because we don't want any edges on our being. When spirituality is represented as a diamond, as a facet, it's all entertainment for the mind. Geometry is the realm of the mind, the conscious mind, the mind part of the matrix. You don't need geometry. Spirit doesn't need geometry. Liquid consciousness doesn't need geometry. Geometry is wiring for the matrix. And the matrix is good or bad. Extremely good, extremely bad. But it's either or. It has this polarity. Visible light is vibrational light. You see? It has a vibrational frequency, which oscillates from positive to negative. So we have polarity, duality, opposites, good and evil. Non-vibrational light is the light of God. It's the light of consciousness. It's the light of your spirit. Non-vibrational light. Non-vibrational light. So focus on non-vibrational light. Gerald O'Donnell, find his stuff in superhero training, remote viewing. Do it. Do remote viewing, gobble up Gerald O'Donnell, non-vibrational light. Never mind about the matrix and duality. But the thing is, it all goes back again to that percentage. How much in it are you on out of it? If you're in the family place and you're in a toxic environment, or you're judging your parents or you're judging your friends, and it's just blah, 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 nothing you can say has any meaning. It's like trying to talk sense with a drunk. How are you going to talk sense with a drunk, an alcoholic sleeping in the gutter? You know, you want to help him out? Leave him alone. Go over there and pray for him. Are you going to help him out, picking him up, trying to listen to his story? You want to take him home? That's what the ego is, you see? That's part of the ego, has to be left alone. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Don't feed it. Stop feeding it. Let it fend for itself. Let it develop its hunter instincts again. Hunter instincts. Pacifying the ego, especially through success, makes you soft and weak. When your hunter instincts lose their edge, you become prey to the great predator in life, the predator that put its mind into your mind, that gave you its mind. That's what it did. You're a spiritual warrior. If you're a spiritual warrior, you need to understand who your opponent is. Spectacular strategist. Spectacular strategy is put your mind into the mind of your opponent, so that now your opponent is thinking, your opponent's mind is dictated by your thoughts. Consider that for a moment. The ego's mind is possessed, infiltrated by a fighting strategist, a predator, the ultimate predator. Let's just consider this for a moment, this archetype, the archetype of the predator, most beautifully articulated in this world we're living in right now by the virus. Not just an ordinary virus, but a nanovirus. Not only a nanovirus, but a genetically modified nanovirus. So this genetically modified nanovirus, which exists in the world today, which is being sprayed out of planes in aerosols, in urban areas close to you, today, yesterday and tomorrow, probably. This GMO, genetically modified organism, nanovirus, is floating about in your atmosphere and is in the air you breathe. You breathe in lots of these every day, and they go through, because they're nanoparticles, that means they're so small, they just burrow into your lung tissue, and they live there. And this is bioengineered organic organisms, bioengineered technology, organism technology, techno-organisms. So this is the archetype we're dealing with. In mythology, you see, we're talking mythological terms here. Archetype is a mythological term. Mythological terms are mythological. What we're saying then is the mythology interfaces with reality. We can go all the way back in mythology through Krishna to the Golden Age and talk about Ram and Sita and the Battle of Kurukshetra and Arjuna, the greatest warrior in the world, shitting his pants, saying he doesn't want to fight anymore, spitting his dummy out, throwing in the towel, giving it all up, surrendering. What's the point? It's all become pointless. And Krishna telling him to get on the chariot and drive that thing like a motherfucker through Kurukshetra here and kill everybody. His grandfather, his cousins, his guru. That's a lot of motivation to get on your horse. So we know Krishna was a great motivator. So whether we're talking about then, when the first nuclear bombs were detonated, or we're talking about now, when these nuclear bombs have already been detonated and are continuing to be detonated every day with their, what they call it, depleted uranium, their little nuclear weapons, their pocket-sized ones. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about then or now. We're talking about the same thing. When they released that nuclear energy above Hiroshima, when they removed that mechanism, the mechanism they removed is the mechanism you need to remove in your mind. That mechanism is the part of you that prevents your electrons orbiting your nucleus in a natural way. That's all it is. The mechanism that's preventing your electrons orbiting your nucleus in their natural way. So what is that mechanism? What is it in you? Think about this. I want you to think about this. What is the mechanism in your mind? The mind that's listening to these words, what is the mechanism in your mind that is preventing the electrons of your psyche, of your soul, the electrons, the spinning, whirling particles of light orbiting the nucleus of your soul? What is the mechanism that's preventing your electrons that split those electrons, that split those electrons, because something has been driven into your mind, something technological. Your electrons have been bombarded with something by something for some reason. And he is keeping you out of your power. When you release that mechanism, you come back into your power. You come back into your power. But the thing that happens like it happened at Hiroshima and it happened at Kurukshetra, is there is devastation around you. Devastation around you. You're all protected by the grace, but there's devastation around you. So this is all part of Noah's answer. The answer to the question, Noah, is your world around you is going to come into devastation and upheaval and possibly utter destruction. And we don't pretend any other way in superhero training, never do from the right from the beginning. We say destruction is a natural part of the drama of life. You're an eternal soul. Don't worry about anything. Here's the practice to keep you in living in grace. Have the best day ever every day, and we'll see you down the road. We're not pulling any punches from day one. So all of this nuclear threat and chemtrails and security, government staff and the thought police, poverty, famine, environmental catastrophe, solar flares, you know, this is August 2013. All the remote viewers have been predicting 2013 September is the big solar max month. You know, we've already had extraordinary solar activity. If you haven't been feeling it, it's because you have a cushion of chemtrailed electromagnetic smog, HAARP-generated electromagnetic smog, microwave smog, cell phone tower smog, distorting it all, and ship weather and clouds, car emissions, you know, all that stuff that creates the blanket, the CO2 blankets, everything, to just cushion out all the aluminum particles and these raining freaking viruses and all the rest of it on you. That's the only reason you haven't felt it, if you haven't felt these solar maxes coming through, because I'm telling you, we're living in one of the cleanest places on planet Earth. That's why we live here, because it is so clean. So we can feel the natural pulses of creation and the EMPs coming from the sun, coronal mass ejections have been extraordinary. The electronics have been going haywire. My central nervous system has been going haywire. And I've been, like everybody, we're just on total, be prepared just to sink in with nature and just, ride out the heaviest waves of complete and utter global transformation. And we're ready. We're ready. We're surrounded by green leaves. We love eating green leaves. We're not scared of chemtrails. We're not scared of radiation. We're immune to radiation. We have superhero immunity and consciousness. We've got plenty of fruit growing. We've got fruit falling off all over the place. We've got the best cleansing foods in the world. We've been eating and drinking them for years. And if the worst comes to the worst, we can quite happily drink our own pee for weeks on end. Couldn't care less. Shivambu, let the nectars flow, you see? Purity and love, purity and love. If you've been practicing purity and love for a long time, what are you full of? You're full of purity and love. If you've been practicing dirty things, dirty thoughts, negative things, negative thoughts, eating dirty things, food with negative vibrations, you know, what have you got inside of you? It's not rocket science. If you've been eating life, you're alive. If you've been eating death, dead things, you're dead. Been drinking lots of alcohol, your liver's all debilitated. You can't process your nutrition properly. So it doesn't matter what you eat, you know, your liver's debilitated. If you've been eating lots of cooked food, if your food combining's been poor, if you've been wearing out your digestion, if you've been burning up all your enzymes, your digestive fire's weak. If you have a sedentary lifestyle, if you're not running around and jumping around and dancing around and bouncing around, qigonging around, yoga-ing around, loving around, laughing around, you know, you're not healthy. If you're stuck in the matrix in any way, shape, or form, which is wholly beholden on what percentage of your ego you're embedded in, then you're anxious. You've got cortisol running through your blood. Your central nervous system is stuck in sympathetic mode. That means your vagus nerve is switched off. That means you're not breathing soft, gentle, deep breaths naturally, evenly, and all the time, like a cat or a dog or a small child. You're stuck in fear, flight, or, fight mode. You're aggressive, anxious, and want something to eat, probably, or thinking about it. Or you're thinking about having sex because you're going to die and you need to, blow your seed into something. It's just a biological prison that consciousness gets stuck in. That's all it is. What are the walls of your prison made of? Have a think about this now, everybody. All the superheroes listening to this and all the superheroes who ever will listen to this. What is the prison? What are the bars made of? The prison is your mind, but what are the bars made of? If you're toxic, you're worried, you're anxious. If you've put toxicity into yourself, if you have a corrosive lifestyle, alcohol, cannabis, cigarettes, coffee, eating too much, overeating, eating too fast, eating on the run, eating poor food combination, sandwiches, wheat, eating bread is very weakening for virtually everybody. Unless you happen to be living in Germany or you've got a German baker that makes the best bread ever, or you're making your own bread and you really know what you're doing, bread is extremely weakening. If you're not breathing prana deeply, deeply, deeply into the core of your inner being, doing compression stretches, kind of yang-style deep compression stretches at some time in your daily practice, then you are deflating. You are deflating and losing chi, life force, like a balloon or an airbed with a slow leak or a car. Imagine your car has a slow air leak and you're deflating and you're losing chi. Now that chi, you need to be pressurized and pumped up with the chi of your own inner being, and that chi is like has a membrane like a medicine ball or a balloon or a hot water bottle, and that membrane should be tight, and it should be sealed up on the inside, and on the inside of it is your compressed consciousness. Consciousness compressed, compression. The compression of what? Of your faith, which is burning love. Burning love. The compression of burning love into a point of light. The epicenter of your inner being, which you can call I, your soul consciousness. That burning love, the compression of that, is compressed into what? Into that balloon that is holding what? Your imagination, your vision, your goodwill to all beings, including your family that are toxic and you don't even like them, including your friends who are toxic and you can't relate to them, including your sphere of influence and circles of increasingly more strange Muppets and zombies. On the inside, all you are is love. That's it, pure and simple. On the outside, it's about how far out in the world can you breathe that? How far out in the world can you breathe your molecular structure? Fill your molecular structure, which is all molecules, 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 circles of molecules of consciousness. How far can you breathe that molecular structure out, and how strongly can you reinforce that molecular consciousness with your mythological imagination? That means images, 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 images. of powerful, powerful mythological figures that you identify with, and where you, as the hero, the superhero, are at the center of it all, taking power from it all, breathing power from it all, receiving power from it all, and the consequence of you, the mythological superhero in it all, receiving power from it all, the consequence is... your personality, the person that is listening to this, the Nick Good, the Taylor Call, becomes more and more blessed in the drama of life, and he's more and more amazed, and he's happier and happier and happier, and he's released more and more and more from the bondage of their ignorance and their how pathetic they are in their ego, in their silly little game, in their little nonsense, in their particular corner of the Muppet Show, no matter how amazing it appears to be. It just happens. So the words have been spoken. The blessings are in the house.